First Peter chapter 1. We've read the context already earlier in our service, beginning there. We picked up in verse 22 of chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. I'd like to read it again just to remind us as we flow into chapter 2. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 reads, "Seeing you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass, it withers, and the flower there falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." As you very well know, our family, our home, has changed dramatically in the last couple of weeks. After last week's message, I came home and my children accused me of just talking all about our new baby. And apparently I said a lot, and I guess that's okay. I'm a new dad, or a dad again, I shall say. But something that was fascinating to me is just remembering just how crucial it is that our baby Faith, she's Faith Elizabeth, that she is fed. And she understands this naturally. That whole process is an amazing process of how God brings this little one into the world. And they just naturally understand what to do. I know that there are times when little ones need help and need help figuring things out and things, but it's an amazing thing that the natural processes just take place. Those of you that are farmers understand this. You see this happen over and over again. In my Bible reading, my wife and I read together the scriptures, try to on a daily basis, read a chapter a day. And recently we've been in 1 Peter, and we came to chapter 2, verse 2, and it was just an amazing thing, because as we read there, she's feeding our baby. And it was such a poignant moment for me as I read chapter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." As I read it the first time with my wife, I read it this way: "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." And then I stopped myself in my reading, I remember, and I said, "Wait a minute, that's not really how it should be read." And I went back and I read it again, and I read it this way. I said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, did you catch the difference? Now, it might not be earth-shattering, because the first way certainly describes that a newborn baby desires milk, certainly. But the emphasis is missed. The instruction was missed. And so today I believe it is important for us to be engaged with this truth. I need God's word. I need it. Peter's instruction to the people is desire it. Long after it. Other places that this word is used in the New Testament, it's translated like this: I long, or earnestly desiring, or long after, or greatly desiring. Does this describe you and your appetite for God's Word? Let me ask you that again, because this message is not just to make us feel good. This message is to challenge our hearts and to remind us of our need for God and His Word. Does this describe your appetite? Desiring, longing after, earnestly desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Does that describe you? Now, in order to help us to think about that, I want to just look more at this context that's before us. As I have already read, we see that Peter is instructing these group of people who, if you look back at the beginning of this letter, he's writing to the strangers that are scattered throughout the Roman Empire. And he says in verse 2 of chapter 1 that they are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied to you. And so he is here writing to people that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen of God. And here in the end of chapter 1, he instructs them, oh, to obey the truth through the Spirit unto a unfeigned love of the brethren, a pure and genuine love. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. And then verses 23 through 25 remind us and remind the believers of what has happened in our lives. Do you think about what has happened to you spiritually, believer? This is a beautiful description of it. You know, sometimes we can say, I was saved, I got saved. What does that mean? I mean, sometimes we can throw these words around and they become meaningless to us. And so take this time in this passage to allow you to re-engage and be reoriented with what God has done in your life. Yes, you are saved. What does that mean? You have been born again. Now, born again, not of a corruptible seed, of some seed that will pass away and be destroyed someday, but of an incorruptible seed. Of something that God has done and worked in your life that is never going to fade away. This done by His Word, which lives and abides forever. Listen, you're here today. You're hearing the Word of God. It is forever lasting. It is enduring. One of the things that helps me in the ministry, especially when I am called and asked to speak before audiences that are not Christian, that could be in a funeral service, that can be at a Harvest Home dinner. By and large, a lot of folks don't know the Lord. Any kind of evangelistic service, although I haven't been asked to do many of them, but where I'm speaking to people who I know are... They don't understand the gospel, by and large. It can be very intimidating. Because why would they want to listen to me, right? Who am I? I'm just a preacher. I'm a preacher of the Word of God, the Bible. And Many of them don't even care about the Bible. Many people today don't even know much about the Bible, don't even know who Jesus Christ is. Why would they care, right? And I could go, woe is me, you know, and but yet that would relegate me to nothingness. I wouldn't, why serve at all, right? But what is encouraging to me are passages like this that remind me of the power of the Word of God. And so often I will stand before people and I will not necessarily know what to say except the Word of God. And I say that and it makes it sound like, oh, well, I'll resort to that. But that ought not to be my attitude. I need to go into ministry and embrace this truth that the power is in the Word of God and it is lasting. So you're here today, maybe you've never heard the Word of God. That's possible, isn't it? Crowd this size, maybe you're new to hearing the Word of God. Maybe you've sat here many times and you've never heard the Word of God because your ears have been shut. You're just here because you made to be here. I invite you today to open your ears and to realize that what you hear today as God's Word is read from the Scriptures, that you hear it. And it is my firm belief that as I am faithful to proclaim it, so God is faithful to work it in you. And as you leave from this place, spoiler alert, it goes with you. And as God wills, He brings it to you again and again and again. Didn't God do that in your life? Didn't God bring His Word to work in you? You have been born again. Not of some corruptible seed. Not of some pithy phrases or poems or Hallmark cards that make you feel good for a while and then die away. But no, it's the lasting Word of God. It's the incorruptible. It lasts forever. It endures. And he gives this beautiful illustration in verse 24 of all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is the flower of grass. So everything that we are as people, our flesh and our glory, what we boast in is as grass. And what happens to grass? It withers, the flower, it falls away. And he does all of that to contrast it to the Word of God, but the Word of the Lord, what? Endureth forever. If you're here today and you have been reluctant and hardened to the Word of God, I hope you realize that you are fighting a losing battle. I hope you realize that as you are standing up against what God's truth declares, you will be the one who dies. You will be the one who fails. God's Word will not. God's Word will not bend or go away, or be broken, but it stands firm and endures. Heed that warning, dear ones, who are resistant to His Word. So understanding what has happened in your life, understanding as chapter 2 and verse 3 says, that the Lord is gracious. You have tasted, the beautiful grace of God in your life. Chapter 2 and verse 1 gives us a wherefore. So because of all of these things, because of these truths, because of what God has done in your life, you need to lay these things aside. And he gives this small list. He gives a list of malice, which is this evil type speaking and life and attitude, a hate, a guile, deception, and hypocrisies, being fake, envying, and all evil speakings. They need to be laid aside. Now, what was interesting is that perhaps his readers were dealing with these things in their midst. You have to wonder, why does Peter address them in this way? Why does God, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, instruct Peter to write this in his letter, these specific things that are going on? We know and are warned often in the Bible of the danger of the tongue and the power of our tongue. It's likened to a forest fire. Paid attention to the news at all recently and what's happening in Australia. You see the incredible power of fire. And so the tongue has that kind of power. And so understanding and realizing the importance of that, that the tongue can be used for evil. Church, you need to wake up to the fact, I need to lay those kinds of things aside. The hateful attitudes, the wicked speaking and tongue, use of my tongue. That needs to be laid aside. And what is to be in its place? You know, what is a wicked speaking and hateful attitude describe? It describes an appetite for wickedness. And Peter wants these believers to realize that must be put away, and that appetite of wickedness needs to be changed into an appetite for the Word. Can this happen in you and me? Yeah, it can. Does this passage prove as a warning to us today? Yes, it does. Can we become lax in our walk, in our love for the brethren, and our love for God, to the point that we go through the motions of Christianity, we have the disguise of a Christian, but within, we are a mess. We are a mess because of our sin. So the appetite needs to change. We need to go back to, what has God done in my life? He has made me new. I am born again. And so therefore, as me being born again, I have this appetite that He gives me for His truth. And too often, we get so far removed from the glorious work of grace in our life of salvation that we forget that grace and we become content in our sin. And today is a reminder to come back, to remember you're born again through God's grace. And so therefore, as one, a new one that God is bringing into the world as His child now, the appetite is different. There is a great longing for the Word. In this verse, chapter 2, verse 2, you have the illustration. The small little baby who naturally longs for the milk from its mother's breast. You have the command, desire. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. That command is for you and for me. And so the question for you and me is, am I living it? Is this describing me? Notice it says the sincere milk. It's not a milk that, it's not like water that's made white. It's not like water that's made out of chalk. It's the real deal. It's the genuine article. This is what God has given to us, and we can trust and believe it to be true. Sincere milk of the Word. In this passage, And sometimes we can get caught up in cause and bring other contexts into this one. In this context, don't get caught up in the description of it being milk and not meat. I know that there are other passages in the Bible that tell us that we are not to be just content with the milk, but we need to mature and grow up and therefore eat meat. And we know that to be true. But that's not his intention here. His intention is directed at the appetite and at the desire for you. And does this describe your life? Do you long after it? Too many times, we in America can go throughout our entire week without spending any time hearing from God. And I'm not talking about some mystic meditation. I'm talking about His Word. Today in our Sunday school class in Hebrews chapter 3, one of the instructions to the believer is to exhort one another daily so that you are not caught up in the deceitfulness of sins. You know, one thing you can do to help me, and I can do to help you, and you can do to help your brother or sister across the aisle? Are you spending time in the Word? How's your appetite? You know what really gets us is when we think about what we do have appetites for, right? Sometimes we have appetite for things we know we ought not to have. You know, things that would make us ill, make us sick, but yet they taste real good. Some people are allergic to chocolate, but yet they love chocolate, right? And sometimes they just say, I'm going to have the chocolate. Oh, well, I'll deal with the consequences later. Think about in your life, what do you have an appetite for? What really brings about nourishment and satisfaction to you in your life? Maybe nourishment's not a good word because you're truly not nourished apart from the Word. But sometimes we might be snacking and feel well for a while. What are those things that you run to? What are the things that you long after? What is it when you are experiencing a hard day? Where do you go? You feel stressed and you feel tired and you feel worn out. So you've got an appetite. You're thirsty for something. Where do you go? Where do you run? To some people, it can be the bottle, the bar, cigarettes. Some people bury themselves in the internet because then you just get caught up and you're just not thinking about anything. TV programs. What about sports? What is it? And then ask yourself the question, how does this compare to my appetite, my longing, and my desire for the very Word of God that God used to work in my life to bring about my salvation, that I might be born again? Why is it that I do not run to this incredibly powerful working entity? Some people go to books. Books that make you feel good. Feel good message books. And I'm not saying all books are bad. But are you going to the Word? And you might say, well, Pastor, I go to the Word. You know, I go to the Word. And you just look for something, right? Where do I go? How do I find it? You know, I want to encourage you with a couple things with that, because I know that sometimes you're feeling certain things and you're just like, I know I need to go to the Word of God, but I don't know where. Here's a couple ideas. First of all, you can call a friend or your pastor or somebody that you know, and you can say, hey, I'm dealing with this. I need help. First, pray with me. And you have any scriptures that will help me? Do you do that? And you might say, well, I don't want to tell anybody. Well, then we need to get over that. Because we're in this together, and if we're going to live and operate as islands, then I don't know what to tell you. We are in this together. I'm not saying we're going to announce it from the pulpit, but find a good friend and ask them for prayer and for help in the scriptures. And if you are that good friend, be faithful with the Word. Now, you might say, well, okay, I don't know where to go. I want to ask you this. What was the last thing God said to you? Okay? That's a great exercise. Because sometimes you might be just going, and then you just reach this point and you're like, well, what am I going to do? Well, you know what? Something you can do is ask yourself this. What was the last thing God said to me? And I'm not talking about something I think God said to me as I was walking. No. What did He last tell you that you can absolutely say this was God's word? What was it? It might have been from a devotions 2 weeks ago. Maybe it was from a message that was preached on Sunday. But remembering God's word endures forever. Remembering that it's so powerful that when it's planted in your life, it changes you forever. You're born again. And so as the message goes forth today, as we have spent time reading in the scriptures, what was the last thing that my God said to me? And go there. Go there. This is not some mystic thing. I'm not giving you something out there that's crazy. I just want you to realize that you, as a believer in the Lord, have a real living relationship with God. And sometimes we have walked away from Him, and the last words that He has said is what we really need to hear to get us back so that we can keep on going. You might have heard it from a friend. You might have read it in a book. You might have heard it on the radio. Whatever it might have been, what was the last thing that God said to you? The illustration, the newborn baby. The command, you desire the sincere milk of the Word. What's the goal? Why doing all of this? That you may grow, thereby, and this is speaking of your in your salvation, that you may grow. Sometimes it seems to me that, and this is just an observation, that we as people can be satisfied with where we're at. And growth is not an option, or not, it's not something we're looking for. Spiritual growth in our knowledge of Christ unto salvation. It's just not something we think we need. But throughout the scriptures, especially in the epistles, the emphasis upon growth is there. So you're here today. Are you growing? You can answer that. you answer that. Are you growing? Now, let me give you some helpful thoughts to evaluate your growth. You know you're growing if your appetite continues and your appetite is for more. Just like the newborn babe begins with this, just the milk. As they grow, they want more. Do you want more? Or is your attitude, had enough for this week? Whew, made it through that one. Are you wanting more? Also, are you understanding more? Yeah. Now, is it not just are you wanting more, but are you understanding more? Because you understand, don't you, that as you expose yourself to the Word of God, you are learning. And as you keep on reading, those things that you have learned are applied to the new things that you're reading, and therefore you are learning more and more and more. So are you wanting more? Are you understanding more? Are you taking the steps in your life to expose yourself to the Word of God, whatever ways you can? Our church has chosen, and this has been for way before I was here, to offer a Sunday school hour where there is more in-depth study of the Word of God. Are you taking advantage of that? Why? Why not? Our church has services at 11 o'clock in the morning and then on Sunday night at 6 o'clock in the evening. This is what the church has historically done. Doesn't mean this is the only way a church can do things, but this is the way this church has done things. And so these are offerings for the fellowship to spend more time in the Word of God and in fellowship. Are you taking advantage of these? Why or why not? I'm not making judgments of you or anything. I am just helping you understand that just our church alone has more things for you that you could take advantage of. Wednesday nights, we have a prayer meeting and Bible study. We have youth for the young people. Are you taking advantage of these opportunities? The goal is growth. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Don't just coast, but keep on pressing in to the breast of our Lord Jesus, that you might hear his heart and discern its beat and know his word and his will and his way for your life, both today and tomorrow and forever. You see, that's what you can say about the Word of God. It changes a person's life so that they are born again. It endures forever. Its truth communicates valuable insights for us now, all the way into eternity. Are you growing? Am I growing? Lord, thank you that we can spend this time together, and thank you for the Word of God. I appreciate so much how we have it in our language. What a benefit. What a privilege. God, work in our hearts that we might be a growing church. Not numbers. Yes, numbers would be great, but Lord, in our walk with you. Grow us, Lord Jesus. Amen.